हरे हरे, हरे राम हरे राम, राम राम हरे हरे, हरे कृष्ण। How many of you have attended the Sfurti camp before? Either in Pandharpur or anywhere else? Yeah. Okay, thank you. So in Sfurti camp, we discussed about the chanting of the holy name in relation to Dhruva. How Dhruva achieved perfection in his meditation and chanting. So there I was telling all of you the Ashtanga Yoga system. Yama, Niyama, which are do's and don'ts, and Pranayama, which is breathing exercises for controlling the senses, controlling the mind, and Asanas for controlling the senses. Then Yama, Niyama, Pranayama, Asana. Then comes Pratyahar. Pratyahar means you're shutting off the senses from wrong engagements. And Yama, Niyama, Pranayama, Asana. This is called Hatha Yoga, we call the first four. Then beyond that, there is Pratyahar, then Dharana, Dhyana, Samadhi. Pratyahar is shutting the senses to wrong engagements. And Dharana, Dhyana, Samadhi are all the same thing only. They are called meditation or concentration. So dharana is 12 seconds of concentration on one object. And dhyana is 12 into 12, 144 seconds of concentration. And samadhi is 12 into 12 into 12. It comes to something like 25 minutes, 28 seconds of fixed concentration on one object at a time. So Dhruva was given by Narada Muni a mantra, Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. And he also chanted, just like we are chanting, Hare Krishna. So he was also chanting. And prior to chanting, he was doing this Yama, Niyama, Pranayama, Asana and all these things. In order to prepare his body, as Lord Krishna says in Bhagavad Gita 6th chapter, when we are chanting, or when we are doing meditation, we should sit erect. Because if we bend our body, we are likely to doze off, sleep off. So we sit erect, we sit in Sukhasana. See, you put this heel should be between the thighs and the genitals. Like this, and then put like this. This is called Sukhasana. Or sometimes it is called Ardha Padmasana, they call it. So when you sit like this, within a few minutes you will find your whole zone becomes completely numb. So blood doesn't go in this zone. So all the blood available in the body goes to the head, and the full energy is spent in concentration. So that is asana. Asana controls the senses, pranayama controls the mind, calms the mind. Then one can concentrate with one's mind fully on one object at a time, only one thing at a time. Like in Dhruva's case, he chanted the Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya and he heard it. So I was talking many things about habits and everything that we should rise above in order to be able to concentrate nicely in the Sfurti camp. Now we will go one step further in our chanting. Krishna says that in the 6th chapter, he says one should not keep eyes totally open because you get distracted. And you should not keep eyes totally closed because you go to sleep. Isn't it? If you are a little tired, you didn't have enough sleep, then you close eyes, you fall off. So one should keep eyes slightly open, and he says one should concentrate on the tip of the nose, not for a devotee. Like one devotee started concentrating on the tip of the nose and he had a headache. He said, but this is too much. So for a yogi it is said, he should concentrate on the tip of the nose so that he doesn't have any other distraction around. Keeping eyes slightly open is the best method of meditation. So that you are not eager to study the objects around you, you know, whether a cow is passing by, crow is, you know, making sound, a goat is passing, no. Don't get distracted with anything else. One should keep eyes slightly open and begin the meditation. So this dharana means only 12 seconds of, you know, hearing the mantra. 12 seconds, that is actually dharana. Of course, the dhyana samadhi becomes deeper and deeper attention. So today I am going to only speak a few minutes on a pinpointed attention. And the pinpointed attention is very, very necessary in the process of meditation or chanting. Why? If you take a magnifying glass and if you focus all the diffused sun rays at one point, then you will see that it can burn a paper or cotton. Is it not? So where does the strength come by which it burns a paper or cotton? Because it is focused. The sun is so huge, even if you put a paper on the top of your terrace on a hot sunny day at 12 o'clock also, it cannot burn a paper. It just can, at the most, it can make the paper a little dim. A bright white paper may become a little dim. But it cannot burn a paper. But you take all the diffused sun rays and put it into your magnifying glass and focus it. When it becomes focused, then it becomes very intense, very powerful. Just like, you see, if there is a ring, big ring, like a tire, which is pulled by four bulls in four directions, can it move? It just doesn't make any progress, because if all four bulls are equally strong, four vectors and four directions, isn't it? So, the bullock cart cannot move if four bulls are pulling it in four sides. But you put all the four bulls in one side, and under a yoke, and then make them run very fast. How fastly the bull, how fastly the gadi can go in one direction. Similarly, we have many thought vectors in our mind which are pulling us, although you cannot see with eyes, they are invisible thought vectors. For example, I am sitting in a train. Now, I have kept a laptop on the top in the berth, and I am sitting down watching the beautiful scenery of Lonavala, and train is passing, and some boy, young boy, is getting up to the berth. He says, I'll just sleep there, I will keep your laptop in the side and I'll sleep. Can you sit peacefully in your seat? So there is a thought vector. What is he doing up? Maybe he is making a plan to loot my laptop. Is it not? Then you take it and put it on the opposite side so that it can have an eye. Yes, and you will see the scenery. See the laptop like this. Time to time you will see. Correct? Because you are not peacefully able to enjoy the scenic beauty. Because you know that if I am enjoying it, that will be lost. Then later on you can take it and keep it with you in the hand. Or keep it in your sight or something, isn't it? Now you are seeing, suddenly you find it is missing. Because sometimes it slipped and fell from away from you. So you are constantly having a fear. This one laptop or one bag is causing you anxiety. So that is one thought vector, correct? Similarly, you come to know that, you know, today evening examination results are coming. I heard it came yesterday for all of you. Don't worry, I won't ask you the result. Anybody, if anybody got distinction, you can tell your facilitators. No problem. Otherwise, we will not embarrass you. So, imagine you are on your way to Bombay, you are going to come back at night, but evening the result is going to come. Then what you will do? Even in Bombay, you will make a phone call. Hey, please, can you please check my result, what happened? At least whether I have cleared all the papers. If a friend says, yes, you have cleared, then tell me first class or distinction or whatever. So that anxiety is also lingering in the mind. You are looking at the beauty, but you cannot enjoy it. Why? Because the anxiety of the exam, one particular paper you didn't do well. And there is a tension. So there is another thought vector. And constantly this thought is munching. And my mind actually, see mind, how it works. Mind is a storehouse of all the thoughts. And mind is also having purva anubhav, previous experiences. And mind has innumerable desires to be enjoyed. And mind also has many anxieties. But the problem is, mind cannot decide on its own. Mind has to consult whom? Intelligence. So if mind is like a hard disk, intelligence is like a CPU. CPU does what? Yeah, in a computer, CPU is the main decision making zone. And in the hard disk you may have different softwares and everything. For processing them you have to go to CPU. To process my desires and plans, I have to consult CPU. Which is a CPU? Intelligence. So it consults intelligence and asks, what will be my result? Will that be good luck for me? Or will I fail in that one paper? Or will I get a first class? Or will I get a distinction? Intelligence says, hey, wait a minute, result is coming in the evening. Why don't you be patient? Anyway, your friends will tell you. Okay, my friends will tell me, but I just want to make a guess. How will it be? So mind keeps consulting. Now these are called as uncertainties in this world. We are living in a world of, there are job uncertainties, there are examination results uncertainties, there are many competition and tournaments you play and there are result uncertainties for that also. Similarly, there is a health issue, suddenly there is a pain in your chest or stomach. Like once I had a pain in the chest, so I went to the hospital for checking. So they put all those plugs and everything and they checked. Oh, this is some muscle pain, they said, muscular pain. It's very superficial, they said. Nothing to worry about. And the doctor said, you have to worry about chest pain if it is on the left side. The heart is here only. If it is pain in here, you don't have to worry. So they gave some clues. So especially if a person is beyond 50, if there is a chest pain, what is likely to be? Heart attack. So then there is a fear. So till the doctor confirms, till the results come, and the x-ray and all those things, what do you call that, CT scan, many things they take. When the results come, people are in great anxiety, correct? In this way, our mind picks up an anxiety due to fear or something like that. Shoka, moha, bhaya, three things. Shoka is actually lamentation of the past. And bhaya of the future. What results the x-ray will show? What result the CT scan will show? I should not have this, I should not have that. The fear is there. Similarly, the past means, oh, it should not have happened like that. You know, why did it happen? If only if it happened like this, how nice it would have been. Actually, in this world, everybody worries. Like a man marries a woman, and he thinks that, you know, if only my wife was more fair, how nice it will be. And the wife is thinking, if only my husband was, you know, more well-built, how nice it will be. Or somebody thinks, instead of becoming engineer, if only I became doctor, how nice it will be. Some of you might have desired for medical, but your father must have wanted you to go for engineering or whatever. Everybody always, what? That if only is another big problem. Somebody thinks, if only my hairs were a little more curly, how nice it will be. Of course, brahmacharis don't have to worry about it. If only my tuft were more curly. No, we don't have to worry. So boys think like that. Some boys think, if only I was little more fair, I'll be more attractive. Somebody thinks, I'm enough fair. If only I was more handsome, how nice it'll be. So in this way, if only is a big problem of the past. This is shoka. Shoka means what? Yeah, shoka means lamentation. Lamentation that I don't have something. And mind has enough of it. And it has enough things to keep on munching and telling the intelligence. And if you imagine, if you tell the intelligence, if only I was more handsome, how nice it will be. Intelligence says, hey, you cannot cut your face. God gives you face cut. Can any of us cut our face? Did you cut your face? God gives you face cut. So, real intelligence means it will tell you, spiritual intelligence. It will tell you, hey, come on, keep quiet. Whatever body you got, be happy with that. At least hands, legs, eyes, everything is proper. Be satisfied. Don't demand more than this. So intelligence can calm down. But if a person's intelligence is not spiritual, then what is it likely to be? Just like one actress, you know, she went for performing some surgical operations on the nose, more than 14 operations. People try to change the nose cut, face cut, eyes and everything. Because when the intelligence will give wrong, foolish suggestions, try this, try that and so many things. So the mind, due to shoka, consults intelligence and keeps on nagging. Similarly, moha. Moha means what? Illusion. Illusion of the present means, in the present state, you know, one becomes allured by so many objects around and there is a craving for attaining them, achieving them. Oftentimes we give the example of opposite sex because that is one thing which disturbs the young people in their youth. But apart from that, there are also other objects. When you see an object, you get a craving. Say a boy is very poor, but he sees the other boys having BlackBerry mobiles. He sees boys coming to college in a car. He sees boys living in individual flat, in a air-conditioned flat. They see them. They see boys wearing very costly, fine garments. So sometimes the boy looks at all these things. He says, "I wish I live a lavish life like him." You understand what I'm saying? People feel craving. Why can't I look at him? He's wearing Reebok shoes, and I am wearing simple shoes. Look at him. What kind of jeans he's wearing? Look at him. So many, you know, girls are surrounding him and praising him for his wealth and his, you know, beauty. Why can't I be like that? So one makes unhealthy comparisons. This is moha. So moha means you watch with eyes, hear with ears. After you go back, then the thing, whole thing goes into system. Because the nature of our mind is, anything you see, puts inside. It captures photo and stores it. Just like you do in your, what do you call it? In a mobile, you click photos, no? Like that. Put it and keep it. So mobile stores it in a memory. Similarly, what stores here? Mind. Mind stores and keeps. But the problem is what? After you go back, you sit for chanting, then it opens the files. Different, some JPG files, WMB files. It opens, you clicks and it opens it, and then the photo comes, and then the thought comes, and the mind keeps on munching on it. I saw this fellow having this, that fellow having this, see this fellow, see that fellow. All thoughts come like that, the mind. So this is moha. And shoka moha, bhaya means fear, that I already told you, fear of the future. Oh, I hope that this doesn't happen like that. This should happen like this. So this is actually anticipation of the result. That is future. Constant anxiety about the result. The shoka, moha, bhaya. Three things. Worry of the past, and illusion of the present, and fear of the future. You see, whenever I think of college students, I feel so pity, sympathy for them. Those who are not Krishna conscious. Why? I can easily understand why these fellows go for committing suicide and things like that. Because they think they are this material body. They think this body made of flesh and bones is everything. If somebody thinks like that, the shoka moha bhaya will toss you and kick you like a football. Sometimes a man is kicking a football and the football is flying up. Football is thinking, now look at me, I am flying high. Only to be kicked by another foot. You see? Similarly, the conditioned soul is like a monkey who jumps very happily when he gets success, and then when he gets some failure or depression, then he gets psychosomatic depression or something like that. Always sukha dukkha, man apaman. He goes like a sinusoidal wave in this world. So only one who has a spiritual knowledge, one who is awakened, the very first thing, I am not the body, I am the soul. All this mind and intelligence and ego, they are all superfluous to me. And what is because of this grass body? It is simply like a nariyal. You have the fiber, you see. It's like the fiber of the nariyal. And the shell of the nariyal is like the subtle body, man, buddhi, ahankar. And inside, you have the coconut. That's like the soul. The soul is the most important thing. If somebody is just trying to bite the nariyal ka resha, you say, no? The outside fiber, will there be any taste? So the whole world is trying for bodily pleasures. Bodily pleasures are like eating the fiber of a coconut. No matter, some people are trying to eat it dry. They're not able to dry, they soak it in water and try it. It's a horrible taste. But the actual taste will come when you eat the coconut inside, which is the soul. Soul. On the soul platform there is happiness. But the whole world, that is why they're committing suicide. Now you can understand, you know, why they commit suicide. Because they get fed up with these three things. Shoka, moha, bhaya, kicking them left, right, center. Life after life, millions of lives. Punarapi jananam, punarapi maranam, punarapi janani, jatare shayanam. Yaga samsare bahudustare, kripayapare, bahimurare. So, Shankaracharya is praying like this. He says, my dear Lord, how many times I have occupied the wombs of so many mothers? How many times I have taken birth in different yonis? Sometimes sad yoni, sometimes asad yoni. Different yonis. And he is saying that how long this cycle of birth and death is going to continue? When will the time come when I will be freed from this? So like that he is praying. So, tighten it. So when we are chanting the holy name, when we try to begin concentrating, when we chant the Hare Krishna Mahamantra, when we try to concentrate, because of our mental identification with our body and our situations and everything, the mind is always going to these three things, shoka, moha, bhaya. It will always run. It has a lot of things to worry about, fear about in this world. So who can be free from fear and worry? One who has given his heart to Krishna completely. Like you see, when I was in Dadar one day, I saw, I came in the train and I got down, there was a lady who was carrying a baby on the shoulder. She climbed up on the heavily crowded staircase and then she walked over the bridge and she got down and she picked up a rickshaw and she was moving. I saw all the while this child was peacefully sleeping on her shoulder. Peacefully, it doesn't even know what is happening in the surroundings. Similarly for Krishna's devotees also, Krishna makes life very easy. One day, Krishna was in the forest of Vrindavan. There was beautiful Yamuna flowing, sitting on the banks of Yamuna. All of them were enjoying, delighting. You see, in this world, sometimes when we are enjoying and delighting, suddenly there are dangers in this world. Like we say, time of calm and time of storm, we say. So, in Vrindavan, there used to be many demons who would come on different days. But on this particular day, something new happened. From all sides, a forest fire started coming from all directions. Like that, it was spreading from all directions, enveloping. So the cowherd boy saw that cows, calves were standing nearby. When the fire was coming, they became frightened. They thought that now, what will happen to our cows and calves if they are burned by this fire? So when they told Krishna, Krishna said, all of you close your eyes. So they all closed their eyes. And then Krishna, he sucked the whole fire in a moment. And he told them, now you open your eyes. And they saw everything was green and beautiful as it was before. So, why Krishna told them to close the eyes? There are many reasons. One reason is if they see him swallowing such a huge fire, they may get frightened that something may happen to Krishna. So they may immediately go and report to Yashoda that your son has swallowed so much fire, please kindly take him to a doctor or something. Is it not? And Yashoda is always in anxiety. She is asking, hey, beta, Kana, did you eat mati? Did you eat mitti? She is always asking, did you eat dirt? Balram is complaining, all covered boys are complaining. Krishna says, no, I never ate. Okay, anyway, let me check it myself. Open your mouth. So she is always in anxiety what he puts in his mouth. And what can be worse than putting fire inside the mouth? So Krishna didn't want them to go and report. But another reason is, Krishna wanted to check their faith also. How faithful they are. Imagine if fire is coming from all these directions towards you and somebody tells you, you close the eyes and very soon I will put out this fire. You may close one eye and say, okay, go ahead. We don't have full faith. we have partial faith. So to the degree you have less faith, that much your eyes will be mostly open. And some little part of the eye may be closed. But they completely close their eyes. They had full faith in Krishna, so they completely close their eyes. And then Krishna also completely eradicated the forest fire. So this goes to show the faith. So right now we don't have full faith. We are chanting the holy name. But we are thinking with our intelligence that Krishna may not be aware of my situations. The poor fellow is very far away, you see. He's in Vaikuntha. Better me sort out my own problems. I will have control on my own problems. When we take control of our problems, then Krishna says, then you do your own problem. I am going. I have many other wonderful devotees to meet. So you handle your own problem. So we become controller of our problem. That is why the mind consults the intelligence, and then sometimes the intelligence is also giving some material solutions to the mind. And both intelligence and mind are consulting one another and they are completely getting distracted from chanting. The main distraction in chanting is because we think we are the controller. We think I am the controller. I can take hold of the situations. And then when we take charge of it, then we are munching on it, planning, making plans, making to sort it out. Maybe I can try this, I can try that. So many possibilities come. And Krishna is, like you heard this saying, Jab tum Bhagavan naam me, jab tum Bhagavan naam me, Bhagavan tumhare kaam me, jab tum apne kaam me, Bhagavan apne dham me. You heard that? Jab tum Bhagavan naam me, jab tum Bhagavan ka jab karte ho, Bhagavan tumhare kaam karte hain. लेकिन जब तुम अपने काम में मग्न हो जाते हो, भगवान अपने धाम में लीला करते हैं, बोलते हैं कि तुम बहुत व्यस्त हो गए तुम्हारे काम में, चलाओ तुम्हारे काम चलाओ, अगर तुमको विश्वास है कि तुम पूरा चला पाओगे चलाओ, इफ यू थिंक यू कैन डू दैट डू इट, गो अहेड, ही लीव्स अस. यू सी देयर वाज वन, यू ऑल नो दिस पीपल हु गो टू पंडरपुर वारकरीज, नो. So there was one Varkari man carrying his tanpura. Tung 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 tung. The play that you have seen there. Vitala 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 maja vitala panduranga. So he was singing and tung 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 playing, and he was walking ahead. So as he was going through a village, some people who were atheistic and antagonistic to worship of Vitthal Rakumai. Because there are also people like that. They were showing hand to him. 3-4 fellows were standing. Hey, take off, go. Yeah. They were showing like this. He slightly turned around. And again he closed his eyes. Tung, 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 going on. Chanting. And then after some time, slowly he turned around and saw some 8-10 people were following him. So in his mind there was a question. You know, why these people are following me? Are they planning to beat me up or something? Because it seems that, you know, they don't like me singing and worshipping Vitthal. And then they were talking something amongst themselves. And it appeared to him that they are saying that he is a kamchor, kuch kaam nahi karta, danda nahi karta, sirf Vitthal Vitthal bol raha hai. Like that he overheard. Exactly he didn't know what they were saying. But they still seemed to be coming. Now he turned around and saw, practically there were 30-40 people. And then he slowly, there was a mountainous area, so he climbed up the mountain. So as he was going, so these people are antagonistic people, some of them are looking like hoodlums also, guntas also. So Lord Vitthal was actually appearing closer and closer. In case he has any danger, he has to protect him. So as soon as this fellow turned around, he had come very near. Now what this fellow did, he took the tanpura upside down, like a cricket bat. He said, Aplo pass out marunga, you know, he was selling them. So his kirtan was over and he was ready. And then he took his stones and everything. So those people, the antagonist people were a small few, but the others were actually interested in his kirtan that he didn't know. They were telling, no, we wanted to know who you are, where have you come from, we have nothing else to do with you, they said. So later on, when Vitthal returned back, Rukmini was asking, why you didn't go to save your devotee? He said, till now he was depending on me. Now he is taking a stone and he himself is depending on himself. So I left him, he said. Let him do it himself. You see, oftentimes our material plan making business occupies our mind in such a way that we keep God far away. That we think I can sort out everything myself. So what is the dependence on God? Yes, you can make your little endeavor, but ultimately without God's sanction, nothing can happen in this world. You can sow a seed, but without rains, this year there is no rains, you saw? Without rains, farmers, can they make the seed flourish? Without God's grace, you see? So our little endeavor and God's grace, ultimately without that we cannot do anything of our own. Similarly, yes, you make a plan, you make a thinking, but if you are going to too much bother about everything, as if we are in control of the past, future and present, is it in our control? So this is one of the things that a meditator should realize, that actually things are not in our control. And we can only pray to God, please help me. Like you have written examination, after that do you have any control? then you can go to temple and pray to God, please give me good results. And whatever he gives you, accept as mercy, grace. So during chanting, distracted ears and roaming eyes, these two are very bad. Like you can hear a crow making sound. How many of you can hear? Now you can hear very well now. There are also buses and cars going. How can you hear? How many of you can hear the sound? A few. Yeah, there's a scooter passing by. You can hear that? What are the sounds you hear? The crow seems to be very prominent now. So the sound of the breeze of the wind also you can hear, if you pay attention. So you will see, in this way there are a lot of distractions for our ears. So that is why sometimes I put a ear plug also, to avoid the sounds, also sounds. In those days, Sanatana Goswami went inside a cave, down, like a L-shaped cave, go inside, go inside. And then he would sit and chant very attentively, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. Full concentration, absolutely pin drop silence. You can hear the sound of the watch clock. Like this, there are many distractions when we chant. Similarly, for the eyes, roaming eyes. Roaming eyes means eyes are always seeing here, seeing there, seeing here, different places. Sometimes when you see, okay, sumo has come, maybe breakfast has come, you know, maybe like that, mind is thinking. You know, early morning mind thinks about breakfast, 5 o'clock, isn't it? So anything you see first, so the nature of our mind is to give running commentary, like a cricket commentator you have seen. Now the bowler is taking the ball, now he is, you know, he's doing and then he's speaking, he's going to bowl and he's bowling now and the ball is going, you have seen the commentary. Like that, the mind gives commentary. Commentary about everything. You know, hey, look at that girl, look at this boy, they seem to be looking at each other, they're coming near, what are they talking? Are they brother, sister, or are they lovers? I want to find out. Why you want to find out? You have so many things to do. See, for such a rascal mind it is. Padmashman always gives running commentary. And for intelligent boys, the mind is even more powerful. Generally, when boys are very intelligent, then the mind becomes even more speculative. Boys who are not so smart, at least they have little calm minds. If you are very intelligent, mind becomes even more speculative. It speculates too much about too many things. Things which you don't have to bother at all about. So, the roaming eyes, you know, Vishwamitra was sitting. Like that he heard the sound. Immediately, you know, idle curiosity arose in the mind. Hey, this looks like sound of a Nupur. Generally, who wears Nupur? Boy wears Nupur? Who wears, you know? Mataji is only, no? They only wear Nupur. Of course, he didn't think Mataji, he thought some girl is wearing a Nupur. He heard the sound and then he developed curiosity to find out who is that. Then he opened his eyes. Krishna says in Bhagavad Gita, even one of the, if the mind focuses on even one of the roaming senses, immediately it gets distracted. Immediately Vishwamitra turned around and thought, who is that? Then he saw that beautiful Apsara, Menaka. So she was dressed like a very simple scavenger girl. She didn't come exactly as an apsara. Sometimes apsaras come like that. That is another type of beauty. Somebody may look like a very simple scavenger girl or somebody. That simplicity is another type of beauty. So when he looked at her and when he saw the beauty, he got distracted. Then he started conversing, talking, developing sambandha, and he fell down from his position. So how did his fall down start? Yes. Yeah, by seeing. Suddenly there was another fellow. He said outside world is full of maya, distractions. He went underwater. And can you imagine underwater sitting and meditating? Actually, to stay underwater for some time also is difficult for us. But he had some powers by which he could stay underwater and do meditation. But one time he opened his eyes and saw two fishes mating with each other. Sometimes you see dogs mating with each other. One should not see those sights. Because when you see any animals or fishes mating, then it disturbs the mind. It agitates the mind. So he was looking at that for a few moments, finished. He developed a kama vasana. Kama vasana arose in his heart and then he came out to the water. and went to one Mandata king and married his 50 daughters. And then married and got settled. He fell in this way. You can see that. So one fell prey to eyes, another one fell prey to... These two are the greatest distractors. The distracted ears and roaming eyes. So if you close these two things, you cannot be distracted. That is why you will find all the advertisement industries, you will find big billboards they put because your eyes cannot escape them. Sometimes they take in a lorry, a huge rectangular box. How many of you have seen? Yeah. And that was going all over Pune. I asked, hey, they have a lorry. Why nobody is able to board the lorry? They put this rectangle. They said it's only for advertisement. They go round and round in Pune to capture the eyes of everybody with a huge rectangular thing. You see? Billboards. Similarly, you will find in the railway station, a lot of sounds. Washing powder, Nirma. You have seen that, no? Yeah. Some rhythmic music, some sounds, isn't it? Down, boom, sounds, you know. As soon as you hear the sound, what do? You turn in that direction. Because you want to see what is it. First they catch your ears and then they catch your eyes. And then you focus on that. So they want you to pay attention to that. Once you pay attention, you are finished. Because it's like a blotting paper. You keep a pen, it just spreads. Like that, once you pay attention to your point, then the mind actually absorbs, takes the whole things, and then it starts processing inside. That one, that concept, that goes inside. Then the inside processing takes place. You understand, no? That is why what you pay attention to is very important. Like in Vrindavan also, Madhumangal, Sridhama, Sudama, Krishna. Sometimes Madhumangal would see there are a lot of laddus in his friend's plate and he would want to eat it. So you know what he would do? He would show his friend out and say, hey, look at that monkey hanging upside down on the tree. Then all the cowherd boys would be seeing that. And sometimes monkeys hang upside down. You've seen that? And sometimes they put a tail around the branch and they upside down they hang. So when they would be watching here, all laddus will be over. One by one he would put it immediately. So then they would see, where did the laddus go? So in this way, you will find, once a person's senses are distracted, then he loses concentration. So during chanting, you sit in a circle where people don't chant very loud, because you have to hear your own chanting, not others chanting. And also keep your eyes semi-closed or mostly closed. And what you should do, try to hear the sound vibration. Hare Krishna. Take two words. Hear only those two words. Again, Hare Krishna. You can also see the words in the eye of your mind. You can see Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. So, chant like this. In my first part of my talk today, I told you about our precarious position in this world. How we are suffering, tossed by shoka, moha and bhaya. So our chanting should be done in a mood of a prayer. Krishna, you are my supreme friend. As the Shastras describe, sumukham, suhrudam, sulabham, sukhadam. Krishna has a, sumukham means he has a beautiful face. Sumukham, suhrudam, he has a very sweet golden heart. And sulabham is very easily achieved by his devotees. Sukhadam. Sukhadam means he is giver of happiness. So one should always understand Krishna to be the supreme friend. He says, Suhrudam Sarva Bhutanam. He says, I am the supreme well-wisher. And I am very close to your heart. And I am in your heart. And I guide you to the right direction whenever you show sincerity. Like when you are walking on the road, Krishna only showed you. See that boy, you go and meet him. He has a book which can save your life. Then he met a devotee who gave you a book. Then Krishna who tells you, go to the chanting, japa circle, yoga circle, or whatever. Go to these classes, meet these devotees, they'll help you. And he tells the devotees, see that boy is interested, please help him. He is my lost servant. Get him back to my abode. So Krishna guides the preacher also and devotee also. All we need is a little sincerity. So we should have a very great respect and attraction for Krishna and firm faith that he is our supreme friend. And then do we be able to pray to him? Tvameva mata cha pita tvameva tvameva bandushcha saka tvameva tvameva vidya dravinam tvameva tvameva sarvam mama deva deva. You are my be all and end all, Krishna. So please pick me up from this ocean of birth and death and take me back to your lotus feet. That's the prayer, that's the mood. Along with that mood, we avoid the distraction of ears and the eyes and try to don't look at different boys here and there during chanting. Okay, and don't give running commentary. Okay, this boy is walking chanting. Maybe I think he's feeling sleepy. You know. And some boy is going, I think he's going to the bathroom, I think. Or probably he'll go there and go to sleep. And then the next thing mind may say, if he is going to sleep, why not I? So don't give running commentary. Don't allow the mind to give running commentary. Just close your eyes, close your ears, and just try to hear the sound vibration. How your chanting should be, ideally, you are hearing one or two mantras, then the mind is going, then you pull it back. Then 2, 3, 4 mantras, again mind is going, pull it back. Eventually the number of mantras you can hear will increase. And that's how the concentration is increasing. Depending on how we advance in spiritual life, our focus will come. A time will come when you start chanting, within one or two rounds you will get into chanting, you will forget where you are. You will forget who is around you. Completely. And then after 16 minutes are over, you open your eyes, then you will realize where you are. So that much concentration you can get. We can be completely out of the world by this chanting. And try. Let us try today. Today we are going to chant at a stretch. Now it is 6:15 to 8:15 we will chant. We will postpone the program. How many of you chant 16 rounds here? There are about 50% of the devotees. How many of you chant 8 rounds here approximately? Oh, there are 8 round chanters, okay. So those who are chanting 8 rounds, we will try 12 rounds today, okay? You try 12 rounds today, only today. And then if you like, you can always increase. If you don't like, you can keep it 8 rounds. And those who are chanting 16, you will chant 16. Okay? And anybody chanting less than 8 here? Yeah, you all chant how many rounds? 4 rounds? Yeah. So 4 rounders will chant 8 rounds today. They will try. Okay? 4 rounders chant 8 rounds. 8 rounders chant 12 rounds. And 12 rounders chant 16 rounds. And 16 rounders chant 16 only. With more concentration. Yeah, they will try. So you will try like that. So, Antaripo, just 1 minute. So it is 6, if we chant 6:15 to 8:15, we give them time. What time is prasadam? Okay, we'll chant till 8 o'clock. So 8 to 8:30 we'll do Mangalarti, Narasingharti we'll do. And then 8:30 they can take breakfast. Is it alright breakfast 8:30 for you? It's not too late. So don't contemplate on anything else during chanting. Peacefully chant. Surely breakfast will come. So 8 o'clock we'll do Mangalarti. Till 8 let us chant, 1 hour 45 minutes. And then if some rounds are left, you can chant during the lunch time or something. Okay? Harinam Prabhu ki, Shri Prabhupada ki. Thank you very much.